Greetings, greetings, greetings. You're now tuned in to No Pork and All Pearls, a podcast for self-realization, a podcast for manifestation, and a podcast to help you live your life by design and not by default. I want to take this time to give thanks to the ancestors, because if it was not for them, there would be no me. I want to take time to give thanks to the light workers who give the ultimate sacrifice, and that's the sacrificing of themselves for the cause of upliftment of humanity and just raising the consciousness of the physical plane that we find ourselves domiciling on at this present moment. And last but not least, I want to take time to give thanks to each and every one of you, the listeners, those who continue to support, continue to pass on the information about the podcast, and those of you who basically get it, you know. And what I mean by basically get it is that it's work that we're here to do. It's work that we're here to perform. It's lessons that we're here to learn. And it's also lessons that we're here to teach. And many of us are doing the work. We're involved in our experiences, and we're becoming co-creators with our higher selves. And we're navigating through everything that's going on, that we find ourselves in this maze that we call life. And many of us are actually finding success in times of darkness. And it hasn't been more evident, or it hasn't been more clear to me, just how dark the situation is that we find ourselves in. I'm back. And I'm glad to be back. I miss sharing. I miss being able to pretty much be a beacon of light and hope to many. But it was necessary that I was away for a while, because as I stated earlier, you know, we're in this maze of life and we all have to navigate through our own journey. So we all have work that we're to do, and I've been doing my work. And it's through me doing my work that I'm able to gather jewels and pearls that I can share with each and every one of you. So what I would like to share on this episode is the redistribution of wealth. The redistribution of wealth. We're talking about the redistribution of wealth. Now, why that topic? Why that topic? What am I talking about? Am I talking about some type of reparations type thing? Like, is that what this conversation about? You know? Or am I talking about some type of thing concerning global currency? Am I talking some type of political stuff where I'm talking about an ideology where we're talking about taking from the wealthy and giving to the ones who don't know that they're wealthy? I'll explain all that too. But we're gonna get into some real powerful things tonight. And it's necessary that we discuss these things because some of the things that I'm going to discuss, some of them may be something new that you've never heard before. But then some of these things may be something that you've always known. And it's just giving you confirmation of what you've always felt and you've always known to be true. And then some of the things we're going to talk about are just going to be some things, you know, just to basically inspire. Because at the end of the day, we all need upliftment. We all need to be encouraged, and we all need to know that we need to just continue on this journey and continue to do the work, because it's not in vain that we're doing this. The things that we're doing is for a purpose, and it is going to be effective as it is effective. It's very effective right now. I want to give a quick shout out to Andre 3000. I just want to give thanks for the work that he's doing right now. And if many of you are not aware, he recently released some new art. And I want to encourage you to go and check it out if you haven't. And for those of you who know, you know about the work that he's doing on this project. And I can only just give thanks for geniuses. And I'm going to use that word, geniuses. You know, we are genius people. This is no lie, and this is no doubt. We are definitely a genius people. But when I see individuals that's doing the work and coming with creative ways to do the work and putting it right in our faces and doing something about the condition of the people and what needs to be done. Like I said, for those of you who know, you know about the work that he's doing. And like, I want to just take this time and just give respect, honor, and just great gratitude for the work that Andre's doing. And not only is he doing work, but you have so many healers, and you have so many teachers, and you have so many individuals that are finding ways to raise the consciousness of this earth plane that we're on in so many different ways. And, you know, I'm so grateful for all of them and the contributions that they've all made in my experience and just helping me along through my journey. Some of the experiences that I've been through during my hiatus and my time away, I had to go through a lesson in healing, physical healing, to bring awareness to myself that I indeed am able to heal myself. I am able to heal myself. And I went through a major situation where, you know, I suffered a significant injury, and many who saw the injury, or many who came to an awareness of the injury, they didn't think that it would be very, it wouldn't turn out good, shall I say. You know, they just thought it was a very unfortunate situation, and they didn't know what was going to happen with the situation. However, here I am, you know, giving thanks, gratitude, you know, to the universe, to the creator, to my higher self, for showing me that the things that I advocate for, the things that I've been doing, the lifestyle that I chose to live, the way that I've chosen to treat my body, the way that I've chosen to treat my mind, and the way that I've chosen to treat others, you know, in my experience, it all came to play, and it was all a factor in me being able to regenerate and heal myself. So, you know, like I said, I just truly give thanks to the universe for that lesson. And I'm here to be able to share and to tell each and every one of you that if you take the time to do the work, you will get positive benefits. You will get the desired results, and you will get all that you feel you deserve and all that you know that you deserve in your mind. You know, it's a knowing. You have to know what you're capable of. You have to know what you want, and you have to know what it is that you truly desire. And all those things, to know those things, it takes work. It takes work, and it takes a lot of dedication, and it takes a lot of energy. You know, it takes a lot of energy for you to put into these things on a daily basis so that you can be able to have the desired results that you seek. Something else that I wanted to share, I wanted to share that many of us, we've been told certain things, we've been taught certain things, and we've been shown certain things, and some of these things are coming out into the public, or some of these things are being shown or proven to not be what we thought they were. And I would like to say that that's a good thing. That's a good thing, because now you can see the things that's not accurate so that you can get an accurate account of the things that you need to know. Like, we need to know many things. We need to know so many things for our existence so that we can be able to do our work properly. And when we have been given distorted doctrines and we've been given distorted teachings, many of us find ourselves caught up in a loop, and we find ourselves doing a whole bunch of things that really don't make sense, but we try to make sense out of those things. However, we're in a time now, as they say, the age of Aquarius, which means to know, you know, the age of knowing. So now we can know certain things, and the universe brings lessons our ways in different ways to teach us certain things. We have to not reject the lessons that we learn, and, you know, don't doubt yourself. Don't think that you're crazy, but acknowledge what it is that you're learning, and you take the new information and you course correct, meaning you repent. Because basically repenting means to change your mind and do it differently. That's all repentance is, to change your mind and do it differently. But I'm going to take a quick break, and we're going to start off tonight's episode of The Redistribution of Wealth on No Pork and All Pearls, and I'll be back. And we're back to No Pork and All Pearls. And tonight we're talking about the redistribution of wealth. And it's been a minute since I've done a podcast. So, you know, I'm going to get my energy level up a little bit. You know, feel like I was dragging a little bit in the last segment. But nah, we about to do it right. We about to get it like how we need to. And basically, you know, I'm back because, you know, I was inspired to come forth and do this because I feel like the timing is right for me to come back and bring these concepts of mind science back into the mix. Because, you know, that's my whole lane. My lane is mind science. I'm going to always stand on that because the universe is mental. It's definitely mental first and foremost. And everything that I'm dealing with is going to always be bringing you concepts and to help you to be clear on some of the concepts that you may have been exposed to your whole existence, but you may not have really been clear on these things. And understand that you can get this information from a myriad of places. There's a plethora of things that you can know. And it's levels to this. It's definitely levels to this. Now, the foundation of tonight's discussion, I'm going to use the King James edition of the Bible. And it's coming from Acts chapter 3. And we're going to basically utilize the verses 4 through 8. Now, before I even read that, you know, that's my style. You know, my style going to always be to give you a substratum or a foundation, right? I'm going to give you something that you can always go back to and that you can look at and you can, like, take it and reread it and you can, like, re-examine it. Because everything that I give you things for examination purposes. It's not for you to take what I'm saying as this is just what it is, because everyone has a different perspective, a different point of view, and a different way of seeing things. Now, many of you have always been given the literal meaning of things. You've been taught, this is what this means literally. But I'm giving you a different perspective. I'm giving you a different layer. In order to understand the layers, you got to understand the terms esoteric and exoteric. The terms are esoteric and exoteric. So let me give you a working definition for those two terms. Esoteric, spelled E-S-O-T-E-R-I-C, is an adjective, and it means intended for or likely to be understood by only a small number of people with a specialized knowledge or interest. Once again, it's intended for or likely to be understood by a specialized audience. Now, the other term I was saying was exoteric. Exoteric. Now, exoteric is spelled E-X-O-T-E-R-I-C. Very similar in the way they sound. Very similar in the way they're spelled. But they have two complete different meanings. Now, exoteric is also an adjective. It's a formal adjective. And its definition is intended for or likely to be understood by the general public. An exoteric, literal meaning. And when we're dealing with esoteric, it's inner teaching. So, esoteric, inner teaching, exoteric, literal meaning. You've been given the literal meaning of a lot of things, and you haven't been given the inner teachings. What I'm dealing with and what I'm here to give you is the inner teachings. Now, with that being said, let's go to Acts, and I'm going to read it for you. Chapter 3, starting with verse 4, it says, "And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." All right. Like I said, tonight we're talking about the redistribution of wealth. Now, the first thing that I want to address is the thing that many people speak on. A lot of times when they talk about this particular text, they say that Peter said, silver and gold, you know, I don't have. You know, that's what they say. Or like they say, I don't have silver and gold. Or I have none. I don't have any silver and gold. That's what they say, literally. He comes to them talking about, you know, I don't got no silver and gold, but what I have is Jesus Christ. You know, that's basically what they teach you, and that's what they say. Well, the first thing that we need to understand is the inner teachings of this situation. And to get to the inner teaching, you need to first identify what certain words mean. Now, on the outward or the literal thing, when we talk about silver and gold, many people instantly think, oh, he's talking about money. So he's saying, oh, I ain't got no money. You know, that's something I don't have. I don't have money. Now, when we're dealing with the exoteric, when we're dealing about the inner teachings, when we're dealing with the thing that only a few people would know, or a selected few would know, you would have to go to the metaphysical level of the understanding of this passage. And if you get your metaphysical dictionary, you know, once again, I use Charles Fillmore Metaphysical Bible Dictionary. Metaphysical Bible Dictionary by Charles Fillmore. I always say these reference points, and I always give you this because I always want you to go back and cross-reference it for yourself, and you go and look in these things for yourself so that you can also find these answers yourself, that you won't just rely on what I'm saying, like, as if this is something that I'm just making up. Well, if you look up the term silver and gold, if you look up the term silver and gold in the metaphysical dictionary, it's a very simple meaning. What does silver and gold symbolize? Silver and gold symbolize love and wisdom. It symbolizes love and wisdom. So that's the first thing. We need to understand that the silver and gold are the wealth that's being discussed here is not what you call money, what you call money. I mean, it is money, because we're going to get into that, because we need to understand what money really is. However, it's not money in which you've been indoctrinated to believe what money is. You know, we've been told money is these forms of currency that we use to perform commerce. However, that's only one level of what money is. That's the lowest level of what money is. The wealth that's being spoken of here in this text is love and wisdom. And let's go to verse 6. Because did he say that he didn't have love and wisdom, or he didn't have silver and gold? Because that's really not how it read. It read as such. It says, then Peter said, and it's a comma there, silver and gold have I none. He said, silver and gold have I none. So is he saying that he don't have this? Or is he saying it in a way like, you know, don't I have this? Meaning like, isn't this almost like a rhetorical question? Like, isn't this something that I have for you? Saying love and wisdom. Don't I have it? Don't you know that I got love and wisdom? Now, it's almost like saying this in a way that it's like, don't doubt what I'm telling you, or don't doubt what I'm saying to you. Let me quickly take a detour right quick and give you an example. Meaning like myself personally, when the whole thing came forth with the coronavirus thing, and I can say that because that's not the buzzword. You know what the buzzword is. But I'm going to say coronavirus because that's, you can find that on Lysol cans, the older ones anyway. Probably the newer ones, they may have taken it off. But the older ones before like 2019, you can find coronavirus on the Lysol cans or some of those Lysol wipes. But I was telling people, you know, focus on getting your immune system stronger. Make sure that you're doing the things and putting the right things in your body to keep your body, your immune system strong or whatever. Also, you know, make sure that you're flushing out your system, detoxing, and making sure that you are giving your body enough water, enough rest, and, you know, basic things to help build up your immune system. Now, here it is, so-called December 2023, and I still don't know what it feels like to contract whatever that is that people said they got. And many people went through all type of means to protect themselves from getting so-called whatever it is, and means of getting vaccinations, means of, you know, I think at one point Donald Trump was talking about he took some type of pills or some type of medication or something, and, you know, it cured him or something. And, you know, people was just doing, the social distancing, like being like standing 6 feet away from other people, wearing dust masks, you know, or just covering your face coverings, whatever you want to call it, just doing all these things to basically prevent themselves from getting it. But many of these people wind up getting it. As I said, I still, to this day, I don't know what it felt like. I have no idea, you know, but Did I not? Well, let me say it this way. Whatever I was doing helped me to be able to not ever experience whatever that tragic situation was that people were experiencing. Just like I started in the last segment, I was talking about I went through this really serious injury. Real serious injury. Like many people, they don't come back from what I experienced. Or they don't come back the way that they were prior to the injury that I received. However, if you saw me, you would never even know that I was in a situation or accident, or that I even suffered the so-called injury that I was diagnosed with. So apparently something that I was doing worked, is working, and could work for others if they would only heed what I'm saying and would apply it and attempt to do it, but not only just doing it in a physical action or a physical aspect, but you also have to do it in a mental aspect, meaning that your mind has to know that this is something that's possible. Your mind has to know that, okay, this is something that could be obtained by me and something that I could do. You know, those things have to work together. The mind and the body has to work together. You know, that they have to work together. You can't have your mind saying that this is not going to work, but you physically, you go through the steps and you try to do it just because I'm going to do it because you said do it. If you're doing it that way, it's not going to work for you. However, if you know in your heart, if you know in your mind, and if you know that it's possible by the witnessing of this physically by others, if you can line these three things up and get a clear understanding that this is definitely something that could work for you, it would work for you. Now, let me bring it back to what I'm talking about in this passage. Basically, Peter was saying this about the silver and gold or the love and the wisdom. He's saying it to them in a manner as which, like, y'all know I got this. Or do you not know that I got this? And then, how can I verify what I'm saying? After the semicolon behind none, see, punctuation is key. The words are key. You know, they use but. You know, they put a but. Like, they always say but always disqualifies everything that was said previously. Like, when you put a but somewhere, like, it kind of, like, cancel out everything that was just said. He says, such as I have, give I thee. He cleared it up. Such as I have, give I thee. He's saying, you know, I got love and I got wisdom, and I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you. Now, people get thrown off by the next part when he say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. When he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, people get so caught up in the name. Like, they talk about, oh, he talk about a name. He putting on the name. He's saying a name. He's attributing it to a name. The name is a code word. See, how do you know it's a code word? First and foremost, you got to understand that there were no J's, no letter J's. There was no letter J's prior to the 1500s. King James was established in the King James edition of the Bible, or the Bibliotheliotech. It was established in 1611. All these things is very important and very key. These things I'm saying, these dates, these time frames, They all important because when you understand when things were established and how it was put together, you understand, and you have to look at it as a piece of literary artwork. Just like I was talking about Andre 3000 and his artwork that he released. Like, this is a form of art as well. It was constructed and crafted very, very carefully, very, very strategically. Like, it was done in a certain way. What does the name Jesus Christ mean? Let's go to our metaphysical dictionary. I can tell you what it is from my own understanding. I can tell you what it means very simply, but I'm choosing to go to this metaphysical dictionary because I want to read this to you. Because if I can read it to you, if I can show you what others have already said about it, you will take it away from what I'm saying or what I'm trying to come up with as far as like these are my interpretations of what it is. It's not just what I'm saying. Jesus Christ, according to Charles Fillmore in the Metaphysical Bible, Christ is the perfect idea of God for man. Jesus is the perfect expression of the divine idea of man. Jesus Christ is a union of the two. The idea and the expression, or in other words, he is the perfect man demonstrated. Okay, so basically, let me sum that up. Let me make it very clear. When you hear Jesus Christ like that, it's a perfect idea of the balanced divinity of man, meaning like your higher self and your lower self are walking in one accord, is walking in one accord, and you are seeing yourself in a perfected way, meaning not in a way of how you perceive yourself to be on a physical plane, being in this so-called body that you find yourself encased in, but it's a higher and a divine revelation of who you truly are in your perfect form. You were made in perfection. When you were created, you, the real you were made in perfection. There's no flaws. It's nothing wrong with you. It's nothing lacking. You're not lacking anything. You have everything that you need. Go back to your DNA and back when you were in the womb, when you were the egg and the sperm colliding together, formulating the body that you're in now with all your organs, your heart, your brains, your lungs, your skin, your hair, your eyes, your teeth, your nose, your ears, your feet, your arms, your neck. All these things were being created and formulated in the womb to perfection, to serve you, to work the way it needs to work, to give what it needs to give for you, so that when you come out on the physical plane, that you'll be able to function the way you need to function, so that you can do the things that you came here to do. All these things were already perfected. When you got here, you were taught and your mind was distorted to make you believe that you were not perfected, that you were lacking something, that you were less than, or that you was not worthy, or that you was not good enough, you weren't pretty enough, you wasn't tall enough, you wasn't all these stereotypes and these stigmas that were placed on you about what you didn't have contradicted you and your true essence of your perfected self. You are perfect the way that you are. So when it talks about Jesus Christ, it's talking about a revelation of an individual knowing his true divinity and knowing that he is already everything that he knows himself to be. He's what he knows himself to be. And that's, if you see yourself as healed, you're already that. If you see yourself as wealthy, you're already that. If you see yourself as intelligent, you're already that. If you see yourself as strong, you're already that. Courageous, you're already that. Loving, you're already that. Wise, you're already that. So what am I saying? What I'm saying to you is that once you get that revelation, here in verse 6, it says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. When you realize that, you will stop laying down and allowing other people to dictate and tell you what you can and can't do and what you can and can't have. You will stop that and you will rise up and you will walk. You will move forward and do what it is that you know in your heart and in your mind that you can do and that you desire to do and that what you deserve to do. You can do all those things because once you understand who you truly are, that's why they always say, man, know thyself. When you truly know yourself, your higher self, your true divinity, when you know that, you won't let nothing keep you down no more. And you won't be stagnant, meaning that you won't be moving anymore. You'll be able to walk and you'll be able to navigate the way you need to and do the things that you need to do. So we're going to take a quick break, you know, because, man, I'm really feeling it right now. Like, you know, like I said, this right here, hopefully this is going to be very informative to someone. And please pass this information on and please give them the link to this podcast, because this right here, this is what people need to hear right now. This is the things that people need to be clear on right now, the concepts, all these misconcepts and this miscorruption of information. We got to get away from that and we need to get down to what it really is. And that's your true essence and your divinity. But we're going to take a quick break on No Pork and All Pearls and we'll be back with more of redistribution of wealth. And we're back to No Pork and All Pearls. And tonight we're talking about the redistribution of wealth. And the last segment was basically getting an understanding of what wealth is all about. What is wealth? That was what I was talking about. And in the passage from Acts chapter 3 and verse 6, Peter was saying about silver and gold, you know, and I basically broke down what silver and gold was. Now, tonight, what I'm saying is we're talking about the redistribution of wealth. So, am I talking about a bag? Am I talking about a bag? Because, let me be clear, everybody talking about a getting to the bag and, you know, I'm trying to get a bag. And basically, that's a translation of I'm trying to get to the money or I'm trying to get a check. For some people, they talking about getting a check. Now, many people have been bringing up the term reparations. They've been bringing up the term reparations. And reparations, what many people don't even really understand, reparations is something that you can't have without a nation. Reparation is not something you can have unless you have a nation. Let me real quick grab a dictionary and we're going to look up the term reparations, because I feel like that's necessary as well. It's very necessary to look up that word reparations, because if we don't get an understanding of what reparation means and what reparation is, we're going to always continue to get messed over. So we're looking into the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, and the term reparation, which is a noun, comes from Middle English, which comes from Middle French, which comes from Lower Latin, and it comes from reparatio. The Latin is reparatius, and it stands and it means a repairing or keeping in repair, repairs, the act of making amends, offering expiation or giving satisfaction for a wrong or injury, something done or given as amends or satisfaction, the payment of damages, indemnification, compensation in money or materials payable by a defeated nation for damages to or expenditures sustained by another nation as a result of hostilities with the defeated nation. All right. Did you hear the word nation repeatedly in that definition over and over and over again? Talking about nations, repair a nation. Reparations, repair a nation. That's what reparations are. Now, a lot of people, that's what they're looking for. They're saying, like, it's time for us to get reparations because of the wrongs that's been done to us. And that's what we need. We need reparations. As if reparations is addressing the issues that we find with our community, with our people, with the individuals that are found here on this landmass. Now, as I stated, reparations is designed to repair a nation. And it's talking about compensation, it's talking about money or whatever that's given for that effect. But is that really all that we need? Is that really all that the people need here? I would like to introduce a new term. The term that you probably never even heard. A term that you probably have no idea what it means. And that term is post-millennium. Post-millennium. Let's spell that. P-O-S-T-L-I-M-I-N-I-U-M. Post-millennium. And guess what? We're going to go to Google right quick. All y'all can do this. We can go to Google and let's do Wikipedia. Wikipedia is something that everybody got access to. We're going to do Wikipedia. But I would suggest that you find a law dictionary. Go to any good law dictionary. Look this term up. Go to an Oxford dictionary, look it up. Even go to a Merriam-Webster dictionary and look it up. But I'm just using Google Wikipedia, because like I said, anyone can do this. Like, you know, anybody that's listening to it, you can listen to it, listening to me say it right now, and you can be looking it up right now as I'm talking about it. You can pull it on up. You can pull it up on your phone or something, or your computer, laptop, however. But the principle of post-millennium as a part of public international law, that's very key, that phrase right there, public international law, that's very important, is a specific version of the maxim ex injuria jus non oritur, providing for the invalidity of all illegitimate acts that an occupant may have performed on a given territory after its recapture by the legitimate sovereign. Therefore, if the occupant has appropriated and sold public or private property that may not legitimately be appropriated by a military occupant, the original owner may reclaim that property without payment of compensation. It derives from the ius post-millennia of Roman law. The codification of large areas of international law have made post-millennium to a great extent superfluous, though. It may either be seen as a historical concept or a term generally describing the consequences to legal acts of an occupant after the termination of occupation. Now, why am I bringing this term up? Why am I bringing this term up? Because it addresses several things. Whereas reparations talking about what people call a check or a bag to compensate you for hostilities and things that have been done to your nation and to help you to repair your nation, it don't address the fact of termination of occupation, which post-millennium speaks on, the termination of the occupation, meaning that the oppressor or the colonizers or whomever is in the position of oppressing the folks, they have to stop oppressing the people. You understand? And also talks about the return of the sovereign, original sovereigns, meaning the original people who were there before get their own government back, returned back to them. It's a returning of their government. It's a returning of their customs. It's a returning of their traditions. It's a returning of their languages. It's a returning of their knowledge. It's a returning of their resources. Not just a check, not just a bag, not just, oh, we're going to give you a little stipend. We done took your stuff. We done took everything from you. You took your identity. We done took your dignity. We done broke up your families. We done broke up your communities. We done took away your ability to provide for yourself. We've taken away the ability for you to feed yourself. We've taken away the ability for you to breathe clean air. We've taken away the ability for you to drink clean water. We've taken away the ability for you to think for yourself. We've taken away the ability for you to love each other. You understand where I'm going with this? I hope you do. I hope you do. You know, this is way more than just a bag. This is not just about getting a check. A check is not going to fix the travesty that's been done to this landmass and to the people that reside here. Or domicile here, rather. Not reside, domicile. I use that word for a reason. You understand? We can't just think that it's all about a bag. Because it's not just all about a bag. It's more than just a bag. How many of you have lost family members to illnesses, disease, You've lost family members to mass incarceration. You've lost family members to wrongful deaths, maybe by the authorities. Somebody got pulled over and may have gotten murdered by someone who's supposed to be a peacekeeper or a policy officer. How many of you have experienced situations like that? How many of you have lost family members due to violence in your community, gang violence or hate crimes or any type of terroristic type of activity induced by being in an environment of oppression? You know, many people, we look at the symptoms and we blame the symptoms of what's happening. We blame the individuals that's playing a part in this. Like, oh, so-called black people, they kill their own people. People eating bad food because they're choosing to eat bad food. People drinking unclean water because that's the water they choose to drink. You know, people are ignorant. People are unconscious or asleep. Or, you know, we throw out all these terms and we act as if these people are making these choices because these are just choices that the people want to make. You know, they're choosing to make these choices. But do we not think that some of these choices have been encouraged by maybe someone else that's putting out certain propaganda, certain type of living conditions and stipulations on folks to force them into positions in which they may not have chosen if they have been given a fair opportunity to do certain things on their own? What am I talking about? Well, anytime someone says, well, in order for you to keep your job, or take away the word job and insert the word provide for your family, feed yourself, survive, you know, because that's what a job is to many. Not all, you know, a lot of people are able to be able to navigate through this thing and be able to do things on their own. But guess what? Like, even some people who started and created their own businesses, some of their businesses were sabotaged because maybe someone in a position of authority passed certain legislations saying that, oh, well, if you're a restaurant owner, you can have no more than 12 people inside of your restaurant. And in order for you to have your restaurant, you got to put up some type of glass wall around the register and things to protect other people. And if you can't do that, then your restaurant's going to be closed down. Or you can't have nobody to come inside of the building. You got to have them all outside of the building. So you had a moving of the goalpost, or you had people changing certain stipulations and making it hard for individuals who were trying to do their own thing, and causing a lot of these businesses to fail. So individuals who are trying to make a living or earn a living, shall I say, and they were trying to feed themselves. Like, what about the farmers and the ones doing agriculture? And many of them was forced to have to shut down their farms, or they weren't allowed to trade or to be able to produce food because of certain things that was passed. You know, it's so many layers to what was going on and what's happening. What about all these individuals who couldn't afford to keep their businesses going? They had to borrow these, what was it called, PPP loans or something from the banks, whatever it was called. But on many of them, they took these loans, and then a lot of them wind up defaulting on their loans and they lost their businesses. So it was so many layers to what was going on. To get back to the main point, where We're talking about individuals being forced to make certain decisions that they may not have made had they been allowed to live. They're not being allowed to live. They're still being oppressed and being controlled in different ways. It's a different way that they're doing things today. And we're talking about getting a check. We're talking about getting a bag. Okay, what happens when we get this check or we get this bag, but then the money, as they're talking about, the dollar has no value anymore, or they're getting ready to crash the dollar and we're going to have to move to digital currency and cryptocurrency and bitcoins and all this. So what happens when they give you this check, but then they say, okay, the money's not good no more. We're not accepting these checks, or we're not taking this money no more. You got to now use bitcoins, but you got this check, but you can't even use it. I don't know how many of you went to places of commerce to do business or to purchase items, and they say, oh, we don't accept cash here. Or some places that's like, oh, we don't accept certain cards. You understand? So it was so much going on and so many shenanigans happening for you to think that it's all about a bag or all about getting a check. You think that's going to solve the issues of the people here on this land? Really, really ponder on that. Really ask yourself this question, like, is it all about a bag? Now, when we're talking about post-millennium is something that needs to happen, because that's going to, it's an international law term. Because when you're saying post-millennium, it's taking it out of the jurisdiction of the oppressor, the ones who colonizing you in their system. It's taking it outside of that and it's bringing it into other nations. It's involving other nations. That's what international, between nations, is bringing it into a larger courtroom or a larger audience. It's putting more eyes on the situation. It's bringing it outside of a jurisdiction that you're entrapped inside of and taking it to a higher jurisdiction that's looking at it from an overview. We're talking about international law. And now you're separating yourself when they talk about come out of Babylon. Many people say certain terms, but they don't even have an idea what it means. To come out of Babylon, coming out of Babylon is taking it from one jurisdiction, taking it outside of that jurisdiction. You're not going to get justice by being in the lion's den asking a lion to give you what he owe you. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. But when you take it outside of that and you get other people to help them, to allow them to get involved in the situation, now you have a greater chance of getting a level of justice. But that's just something for you to know for yourself, because if you're not aware of these terms, you're not aware of these concepts, you're going to continue to do the same thing and continue to get the same results. And we all know that that's insanity. So when I'm talking about redistribution of wealth, that's what we're talking about tonight. The redistribution of wealth is me giving you my love and my wisdom on the things that I learned, so that you can take that and you can rise and you can walk and you can move forward and you can act accordingly. So the redistribution of wealth, they say knowledge is wealth. They say health is wealth. All those things is the true wealth. It's not necessarily getting a check. It's not necessarily getting a bag. That's not wealth. Wealth is wisdom and love. And hopefully the wisdom and the love that I've given you tonight could help spark something within someone that can help them be able to get a level of freedom that they may not have experienced before, and to help them to be clearer on some things that they weren't clear on before. And understand this, your true wealth is your self-awareness of who you are. Your true wealth is your self-awareness of who you are. When you truly understand who you are, and I'm talking about your divinity and you and your divine nature, and when you understanding that anything that you want, you can have, but you have to understand in your mind that you already have access to this and that you already was created for that. Don't think that you're not worthy of it. Don't think that you can never possess this or you can never have it. If you're thinking like that, you won't get it. But when you understand that you were made in the image and likeness of divinity, you were made in the image and likeness of divinity. Your higher self, you are supposed to sprout like a flower in the springtime, the true new year. But you're supposed to blossom on this physical plane because you deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve to be all that you want to be. You deserve to be all that you know you can be. You deserve to have all that you desire to have. Why? Because it's in your DNA, and your DNA is divinity. Well, that's all I have for this episode, and hopefully we can upload this one. I tried to upload an episode earlier this year. I think it was in May. It didn't turn out too well, but it wasn't the time for it, but the time is now. So, you know, pass the information on about the podcast. Yes, I'm back. Yes, I'm going to be uploading more, and I'm going to be dropping more jewels and pearls, shall I say. And until the next time, I just want to leave you with peace. I want to leave you with love, and I want to leave you with shalom.